FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it's almost the last day of March. It's March 28th, 2017. The quarter is almost over. And interestingly enough, we see a situation where millennials are attempting to re-enter or enter for the first time the housing market. But interestingly enough, there's not enough supply for them. And who would have thought several years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, the housing market was in its depths, and no one ever expected millennials to be in the housing market ever. But what a difference a few years makes. And Ralph DiMignera is with us now, and you know him. He's a banker, been on the show before. See him on CBS, WOR, iHeartRadio, and he's VP of Residential Home Funding Sales Division. And Ralph, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Kerry. Good to be back.
Hey, so who would have thunk it? What a difference a decade makes. The millennials are in the housing market, or attempting to be.
Yeah, they're out there trying, that's for sure. I mean, applications are way up for people in that age range. And, you know, it's a group of people that have kind of grown up in a market that wasn't necessarily steady. So I think there was a little bit of cautiousness of them getting into the market. But now with a little bit more urgency, because interest rates seem to be creeping up, you're seeing a lot more of them trying to take action.
Yeah. And the problem we have is not enough supply, which is a little bit baffling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that we're still dealing with basically inventory problems, whereas there's not enough homes on the market to buy. People out there looking. And, you know, what's happening is it's becoming really a seller's market, because if you have a house that's appealing and you're putting it on the market, you're getting, you know, above what you're asking for most of the time, because there's not a lot on the market out there for people to buy. So it's actually sneakily become a seller's market where people don't even realize it.
Wow. And so the inventory is not there, but the demand is, and albeit a seller's market, and yet interest rates are going up, but interest rates are still historically low. When I consulted to a mortgage bank, and this was a number of years ago, almost a decade ago, it was, as long as interest rates stay below 5%, you know, business is good. Here, we're still in the fours, so people, home affordability is still pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know there's a little bit of panic because people feel like interest rates are going up, but we're still at the end of this year going to see an average of the mid to high fours, which is still, as far as history goes, a very cheap interest rate. So I don't believe that we should be in panic mode at all. I think that it's still very, very cheap money, and it's a great time to buy.
Yeah. So what about the shadow inventory? Does that still exist?
Yeah, there definitely is. There's a little bit of shadow inventory right now. I mean, what you're seeing is that there's a lot of banks and investors who bought up a lot of these properties and/or foreclosed on them in the last decade that are still sitting on the inventory because they don't feel like it's time to come back in the market and sell the homes. So it's really delaying the recovery of the market because they're just sitting on this inventory and they're just going to wait it out until they feel like it's a good time to come back in, which probably won't be until interest rates are a little bit higher and a little bit more of a steady market. But what they're essentially doing is they're pretty much causing the reason where it's not a better market right now because they're holding all these homes.
Mm-hmm. So, but at some point the dam will break and supply is going to come rushing back in the market all at once, right?
I think so. And I also think that you're seeing a lot more new construction going on. For the last 2 years, you know, building starts have been up overall. So I think you're seeing a lot more people out there building, which is always positive. And you're seeing a lot more investors out there buying properties and flipping them, you know, doing some construction on and some rehab and flipping them over. So there's definitely activity in the market. Just, you know, we will hopefully see increased activity over the next 12 to 24 months.
Yeah. So are these mostly starter homes we're looking at that the millennials are going for here? Or what are they looking at mostly?
I think it's a mix. I think it's an area type. They're looking to be around metropolitan areas. It's more of a lifestyle choice than it is a home choice, whereas they want to be able to have a social life. What you're seeing is there's a lot more single people buying homes in general. There's a stat that came out this quarter about single women from the National Realtor Association that they're about 18% of the buying public right now, single women. And, you know, they're actually doubling single men in buying power, but in general, they're a big portion of it. So there's a lot more single people buying homes, which means they want to be around the areas where they can have a social life, and you know, everything is local to them.
So it's a lifestyle kind of market then, huh?
I believe so. I mean, some of it's family stuff. You know, a lot of the things millennials is that they're buying homes later in life. I believe the average age that somebody's buying a home right now is about 34. Mm-hmm. So they're starting families later. They're buying homes later. So some of what you're seeing is that they're not buying starter homes. They're buying their home that they're going to live in for a long time because they waited so long to get in. They didn't buy a home in their 20s. They waited till the mid to late 30s or whatever it is. And they're buying the home they're going to live in for a longer period of time. So I think it's a mix of the two.
Mm-hmm. So these are more urban kind of oriented buyers. More so.
Yeah. I there was a list that was LendingTree, which is a mortgage sales kind of lead generator site, but they put out stats last month where most millennials were buying, what cities. And you saw cities like Pittsburgh on there and Charlotte. What it looked like to me was these cities that are kind of on the brink of transforming into bigger cities where there's more of a, you know, gentrification. And they're still yet affordable. So it seems like the millennials are, you know, gravitating towards those areas.
Interesting. So what about areas, lesser desirable areas of cities getting gentrified? That's a trend that's in motion and going to continue then.
I believe so. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm in New York. I'm in the New York metropolitan area. And what you're seeing now is Manhattan. It's become an area that you can't afford at all. You know, even the areas that weren't great, you can't afford it. And it's moving out into the outer areas that were, again, less desirable 5 years ago. But because they're so in proximity, so close to the city, they're becoming more and more desirable. And you're seeing that across the country that's happening. That anything that's close to public transportation where people can commute to work in a reasonable amount of time, you're seeing that there's an increase of sales.
Ah, interesting. So the outer boroughs have really picked up in this market boost here.
Yeah, for sure. You're definitely seeing people just kind of getting in where they can get in, and they're looking at it as an investment opportunity. Just for millennials in general, and they're 30% more wealthy. The millennials that buy are 38% more wealthy than the people that rent. So it's a starting point towards wealth. I mean, you're going to pay for most of these cities. Your rent's going to be the same as your mortgage, but at least this is an old kind of theory, but it's still true to this day. You're better off investing in your own property than paying somebody else's mortgage.
Right. So then the race is on to try to find property. And like you said, it's just not there to be found. So are they coming up with creative ways to kind of break into the market?
Yeah, I think more and more, it's just a matter of, it's not necessarily being creative. It's more a matter of, I believe, being patient. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's taking people 6 to 8 months to find a home. So they're ready. And then it's taking them a long time to buy because it's just a matter of being patient to look for the right property because it's taking longer. The properties are out there. They're just taking longer to kind of reveal themselves.
Uh-huh. So this is creating a kind of a backlog, pent-up demand. And,
yep.
and they're kind of interest rate insensitive at this point, right? It just doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's people, you're hearing in the news that rates going up. The truth of the matter is over the last 12 months, even though the Fed has actually raised their borrowing rate, it hasn't had a huge effect on actually mortgage interest rates. Mm-hmm. They've gone up a little bit, but they haven't gone up a lot. So it's just, you know, the market's just still not stable enough for rates to go for that kind of increase. And I don't see it happening anytime soon, but there is a sense of urgency because you're seeing it in the media and the news every single day.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can remember times where you had literally like a buying panic taking place. Are we getting to that point yet?
I think it would be more of a panic if there was properties available. I think there would be, but you're definitely 1,000% seeing a sense of urgency amongst people. Like, all right, I was on the sidelines all this time. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it now. So you're definitely seeing a sense of urgency of people looking out there.
Wow. It's just amazing the way things progress, you know. Like I said, a couple of years ago, even 3-4 years ago, nobody was thinking that this was ever a possibility, were they?
No, absolutely not. And you know, what you're seeing is that the areas that were affected most first have come back a lot already, such as Florida and Arizona and California. Those areas are thriving again, because there was a lot of, specifically Florida and Arizona, there was still a lot of inventory left over from when the market crashed. So there was enough inventory there for when the market came back for people to jump back in. at a different price level. So what you're seeing is those markets have really thrived just because there's inventory. So everything else, I believe that everything else will catch up. It's just it's happening slower than we wanted it to.
Yeah. So the old saying, right, that real estate always comes back, it's been proven yet again.
Yeah, I mean, as a long-term investment, I'm a little bit biased because I'm in the business, but as a long-term investment, I still feel like real estate is great. You know, you're not going to make 20% on your money like you did in a couple of those years, but as long as you're in it for the long haul, it's going to be very hard for you to lose.
Yeah, well, especially if you don't dramatically overpay for your property as well, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So, which I guess when there's a shortage of property, it's harder to not overpay.
Yeah, well, that becomes a problem where it's just as you're overpaying a little bit, whereas it's not a huge number. Maybe it's 10%. It's not like what it was where there was a 30-40% swing in the market at the worst points. You're going to see a 10% variance probably right now between mm-hmm. what you should be paying and what you're actually paying. So again, as long as it's a long term investment, I believe that you're fine.
Right. So long term. How do you define long term?
Anywhere between 5 and 10 years, I think that you're safe right now, as long as you're willing to stay that long. You know, the people who are in the market buying properties and flipping them quickly are now in a market where they're real investors who do it for a living and they're professionals at it. Where we had as a market as before 2007, where it was everybody was doing it. It was a lot of condos and pre-construction being flipped by people who were amateurs. Now you're seeing more of what it was to begin with. It's more of the investors who actually do it for a living, and they're buying single family homes that they're rehabbing, and they're buying multifamily homes that they're rehabbing. So, you know, those are the guys that can make money in a short period of time. But for the regular consumer, as long as you're planning on staying a house from 5, even 3 years, I think you're fine as far as your value goes.
Even 3, huh? Amazing. Interesting. So basically, what choices do millennials have? I guess they're putting money into their 401ks, their IRAs, but in the final analysis for long-term wealth building, they're looking at real estate, which there's nothing new under the sun, right?
No, and you're right. And a 401k and everything else is, you know, all those markets are still, you're not getting a huge return on your money there either. So you're almost safer doing this. I mean, a 401k is always going to be safe in some way, shape, or form, but this is just as safe as anything else right now, I would say, is putting it in your home.
Yeah, makes sense. So people want to find out more about you, Ralph, connect with you on the web. Where's the best place to connect?
You can reach me on my website, which is ralphdibugnara.com, ralphdibugnara.com.
All right. So ralphdibugnara.com, you'll find a link on our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for our newsletter. Got one coming out today. And got any questions, comments, this interview or any others, send me an email, kl@kerrylutz.com, kl@kerrylutz.com. Our Twitter feed is @kerrylutz. Our Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. And go ahead and subscribe to the show. It's really simple. All you need is the iTunes program on your Mac or your PC. Go to the iTunes store, type in Kerry Lutz or Financial Survival Network, click subscribe, and it comes right to your computer automatically with no effort. Play it back at your leisure. Ralph, it's always great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for being here, and best of luck.
Thanks, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.